Good morning. I'm Marlene Gaskell. And before birth, I was sold by the mother of my unwed mother because of the disgrace her church brought on her. I was bought by a woman because of the disgrace her church brought on her for being childless. I was brought up in this home where I was barely tolerated, mostly hated, without a trace of love or affection. My church experience was little but a series of unattainable rules, abuse, and fear. And at about 14 years of age, I decided I didn't want anything like that anymore, and I didn't enter a church for 50 years. About this time, I found out I was adopted. I was shocked, but I was almost glad. And for the first time, met my birth mother. And when she put me to bed, she tucked me in and kissed me goodnight, and I'd never had that experience before. But I had no clue how to handle that type of love or family, so I quickly distanced myself from all of that. At 17, I married a nice boy who had a family. I went to work 3 days after the birth of my daughter, who was brought up by a series of babysitters, while I worked 2 and sometimes 3 jobs. That marriage lasted 8 years. Then I married my first high school love. The drive to succeed was now stronger. So shamelessly neglecting my husband and my daughter, I rose dramatically in the business world and became vice president of a plastics manufacturing company, making more money than I ever thought possible. I had it all now. I was omnipotent. I heard people talk about God. I felt sorry for them because they were not strong enough to make it on their own. I wasn't a weakling like that. I was the master of my home and my universe. With the elevation in income came an exposure to affluent people, and in the 70s, that meant the hip lifestyle. Now I had found out how to really be loved and accepted. What a wonderful life, and what a surprise my marriage ended. But now I was 40 years old, retired from the plastics manufacturing company, with profit-sharing bucks in my pocket. My daughter was grown, and I could come and go and do as I pleased, and come and go I did. My new neighbors were members of a popular rock band of that era, and now I was really on the fast track. I joined NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, became the leading female pot lobbyist in the country, with my picture on the front page of the Washington Post. Through all of this, I met Hugh Hefner, was a frequent guest at the Playboy Mansion in L.A., and of course met many other celebrities and musicians and hung with them. Now, sex, drugs, rock and roll was combined with Learjets, limos, and shopping sprees on Rodeo Drive, and I really had it all now. I was loved and accepted by everyone. The fact that I came home after one of these trips, I was a little lonely, was quickly covered up by one drug or the other. But when my money started dwindling, guess what? So did my lifestyle, and so did my friends. So I had to clean up my act and go to work again. After that 14-year period, I remarried my first husband, or my second husband, opened my own business, and once again became the domineering head of my household. And we settled into our old ways, including excessive drug use. He eventually became addicted to crack cocaine. I moved him out of my house, and shortly thereafter, the crack killed him. Then, injured in an automobile accident for the first time in my life, I became addicted to a prescription drug, a painkiller. The crack had been expensive, so now I was alone and broke and addicted. And I received a postcard from Perimeter Church, and it advertised alternative music. And I loved alternative music, so I came to church, loved the music, and out of politeness stayed for the sermon. But when Randy said he was starting to make his last point, I almost stood up and screamed, "Don't stop," because I had fallen in love with Jesus. I went out the front door and I gave my life to God. And I went home and I got down on my knees and I told God how sorry I was and asked him to forgive me and thanked him for giving his son to die for my sins. And I was on my way, but I couldn't come back into the church right away. The drug was still taking its toll. So while fighting the drug many nights, I would get in the car and I would come out to the parking lot and I would talk to God. And I would tell God, I'm sorry I can't come into your house, but I'm here in your front yard and I'm talking to you and I'm asking you for your help. And he talked to me too. He told me he loved me and that I could stop the drug. And I did. It wasn't quick and it wasn't easy. But I started coming back to church. I went to the Inquirer's Weekend, the membership seminar. And in my interview with the elders, I couldn't stop crying. They could not possibly know how happy I was. I could go on forever telling you how my life has changed. One day a guy came into my office. We found out we went to the same church. He invited me to his neighborhood congregation. And when I got there, his wife offered to come to my office every week to teach me how to read the Bible. And she said she didn't even charge anything for it. Gary and Lissa Hopwood and their family have taken me and introduced me to a love of each other and their God that I've never experienced in my life. In fact, that entire neighborhood congregation has become my covenant family. And how precious is that? And then when a deacon, Richard Thompson, called and he said that I was his assigned widow. The church says, or the Bible says, the church should take care of its widows. Imagine a church doing something the Bible says. At my first dinner in their home, I was privileged to see another shining example of a committed and submitted mother and father bringing up two small children with such love and such tenderness, and hearing the little boy while saying grace, thank God for bringing Marlene into their home. And when I thought things couldn't get any better, Randy taught us from Romans 8 that nothing could ever separate me from the love of God. This is what I had been looking for, this unconditional love, all of my life. And here it was, right in front of me, and I didn't have to do anything or be anybody but myself. He just loves me. I continue to pray for my beloved daughter, who because of me has struggled greatly. If I could change the last 50 years of darkness, I would. But that's where Psalms comes in and tells us that he gives us gladness in proportion to our former misery and replaces the evil years with good. And now my wish is to live the rest of my life as a testimony to how much God can change anyone. God is good all the time.